I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Tommy Moe!
Robbie Weekly.
Little reverse pass.
Murray Kinsella, felt like there was a little bit of a disturbance in the force in recent weeks, what with the England under-20s winning a Six Nations Championship at Ireland's expense last night, Bath beating Leinster in a friendly, and we know how much the Welsh, the Scots, and clearly the English enjoyed England's victory over Ireland in the Six Nations last weekend. Well, maybe they can all fucking enjoy this, because Ireland are Six Nations champions for 2024 and for a 16th time in the country's history. What are your immediate thoughts as we sit here waiting for the trophy presentation?
Taking a big picture view, I think it's a fine achievement for this team. Based on them bouncing back from the World Cup disappointment, they lost Johnny Sexton, their talisman, their leader, their captain, their director of tactics and of play, and they built a different looking Ireland team that had patchy moments in this, absolutely not a perfect championship. They had that defeat to England, but they had enough quality, enough class to claim a Six Nations title. I just don't think that can be sneered at. You mentioned it, it's only a 16th. So while we've got used to success in Ireland in recent years, it should not be underappreciated, particularly given that context of it. Obviously, it was really nervy there at times in the Aviva Stadium, absolutely, in the performance tonight. But that was often based on the brilliance of the Scottish defence. They were unbelievably resilient, and yet Ireland found a way, and they managed to steady themselves enough amid some clear nerves to get over the line. And I think it's a brilliant achievement to go back-to-back in the Six Nations. Again, doesn't happen often. Ireland did it 2014, 2015 under Joe Schmidt, and now they've done it under Andy Farrell again. And more often than not, this team wins. I think they get better. I think they looked at that series in South Africa and think we can get better for that, and that's going to be a massive achievement. But tonight, they're going to celebrate and they're going to enjoy this.
I hope you can hear us, by the way. The Cranberries ringing out at the Aviva Stadium. And let's absolutely focus on all of the positives firstly, Murr, as we soak this in. You mentioned there it's only twice in the Six Nations era Ireland have gone back-to-back. I've been lucky enough to sit next to you for the second of those times, and it feels weird to be here recording a podcast again with the Cranberries playing a year on from the Grand Slam last year, and it is important to put that into perspective. And actually, as much as we will get into the weeds of the performance on Monday and maybe touch upon how difficult it was, particularly in the first half shortly, second half was also a massive improvement by Ireland. And you're right to point out the Scottish defence was staunch and really admirable, but Ireland were by far the better team in the second half, which probably wasn't as abundantly clear in the first. Is that fair to say?
It absolutely is fair to say. The pressure just built and built. I thought Tadhg Furlong scored a try, to be honest, and I think that would have been the moment that Scotland, it appeared they had cracked, but Ireland just kept their foot on the throat. The Scots couldn't get out of their 22. I know they scored at the end, but Ireland really dominated that second half, and they had all the possession, they had all the territory there, and even though there were nervy moments, as I say, in trying to get over the line, eventually they do with a really slick 5-metre play where they had some clarity of what they were going to do. And Ronan Keller sweeps the ball off the deck. Really nice disguise pass for Andrew Porter to smash his way over. He had Robbie Henshaw being held up on stage. It was so close so many times. And they found a way to get the job done. Really was a good Scotland performance turning up here. And they had to overcome that. Of course, the first half wasn't quite there. But I agree with you. They clearly regathered at halftime. They came out. James Lowe makes a big surge up the left. And they just play on the top of Scotland from there on.
Maybe let's just pause and take this in, because there's probably no point in trying to speak over it. Okay, we're going to pause so you don't have to listen to every single player being read out here. We'll be back momentarily and carry on this conversation. Okay, we're going to resume as the Fields of Athenry rings around Lansdowne Road. The players are doing their lap of honour, and definitely there are scenes reminiscent of this time last year, Murr. We've discussed how Ireland actually improved in the second half. First half, you and I were kind of turning to each other every now and then. Felt like they were missing a spark, and probably felt a little bit similar to last week, actually. What did you think they were doing wrong, or what went wrong in a first half that finished 7-6 to Ireland in the end?
They seemed a bit impatient, I suppose, in the face of that really good Scottish D. And I'm kind of falling on the ledger of giving Scotland the credit for those big wins they had defensively, where they stayed really connected, they'd done their homework, and Ireland kind of played into their hands a few times. Andy Christie was all over their ball, breakdown and choke tackle turnovers at different stages, and it just felt like Ireland were getting a bit edgy. So that's why I thought it was so impressive that after halftime, as I mentioned a couple of minutes ago, that they came out and James Lowe surges down the left and offloads inside to Bundyaki, and it just gave momentum at a time when you thought, wow, could this be one that gets away from Ireland? And they kicked the 3 points there, and still they had to kind of labour to get over the line for that Porter try. But they did that. They just stuck at the task, and that's something this team has done really well. They know better than anyone. I mean, even at their final whistle, you saw they didn't immediately celebrate. It was quite a weird kind of moment. They thought, can we celebrate here? Because they're not probably pleased with how they played. They have such high expectations of themselves. We all do. But you can see now that they are thoroughly enjoying this and realising the scale of their achievement, because that's what it is. Like, it just is not that long ago that Irish rugby was in the doldrums, really. It's only a blink of an eye, it's become this kind of beast where people expect them to win title after title. So it is lovely to see these scenes again. The kids are out there, and of course Peter O'Mahony is on the screens here. He's enjoying this occasion. He said to Virgin Media straight after there that if this is the last one, it's a really good way to go out, and that is certainly true. A first Six Nations as captain, and you're lifting the trophy at the end of it, that is a great result. You look at Jack Crowley, a first Six Nations as a starting number 10, and he wins a winner's medal. Joe McCarty into the team for the first time, he's a winner of Six Nations. Gavin Nash kind of came from, he didn't quite come from nowhere, but way down the depth chart. They lost Hugo Keenan today, and Jordan Armour has to spring into action. So there were challenges along the way, but with a slightly remodeled team, they've won a title, and that's the bottom line for me.
I think Peter O'Mahony will bow out. He won't do it this evening. He'll probably do it at some point next week or even over the coming months. But he'll want tonight to be about the team, and I'm sure he'll bat away our questions about it very shortly. It is an extraordinary way for him to do so as captain of a Six Nations winning team. Just to pick you up on what you were saying about it being a remodeled team, though, that is absolutely the case. But if you were to take this last 6 months as one package, World Cup plus the Six Nations campaign, which felt very soon to a lot of us sitting here in the stands, and I'm sure would have to some degree for the players as well, does it make sense that it felt like Ireland ran out of gas a tiny bit towards the end of this championship, and maybe actually some further remodeling needs to be done? And of course, in the shape of a new attack coach as well, that's bound to be the case. But it does feel like there needs to be a little bit of refreshment for the summer tour, right?
Maybe. I think guys, some of the guys I mentioned even will feel they're going to grow and grow into it and will have learned so much from it. And I don't think so. I think what they have here, yeah, you're right, there'll be a new attack coach to come after this season with Goodman. And of course, Farrell, it's not that long until he goes to a Lions tour. But I think they'll look at the rest of this year as just opportunity for this crop to go to South Africa, play the World Champions in an unbelievable two-test series. Pity it's not three, but I think that is going to be titanic. And then have a brilliant autumn series here where they're playing four games, and the Kiwis are coming to town, and the Fijians are going to add a bit of flair, and Argentina will be bullish about causing an upset, and the Wallabies with Joe Schmidt in town and O'Toole in town. That's going to be a lot of fun. And yeah, I think absolutely there's bits they can get better at. I think they can be even more resilient and even better at getting over bumps and maybe not having bumps in the first place. I think they can be even better at set piece. I think their attack can be better. I think defensively they can improve on performances like last weekend in England, but that's judging from a really strong position that they're in. And though Scotland soaked up so much and delivered a really good performance, it still wasn't good enough to beat an Ireland team that weren't at their best, and that's the standard they're at there.
Yeah. Well, we've had a nightmare with our recorder here, I'm not going to lie. If that sounds like a sudden jump, that's because it is. I'm just thinking of the continuity problems with the different song in the background. We're going to wrap it. We're due to head down to the presser now and chat to coaches and players and get a feel for what they're feeling, basically. But we'll be back on Bank Holiday Monday looking back over this championship, a championship which has been won again by Ireland. So we'll catch you then. Have a great St. Patrick's weekend in the meantime. Murray, thank you. Great to see you.
Thanks, Gav. I hope everyone enjoys the celebrations and looking forward to chatting on Monday.
Catch you then, everybody. Take care.
Put the boys in the better land. You're always talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land. Driver's got names for 32 double barrels. He spits out, grits out, only smokes carols.